Teletech Star Podcast.
You have pleaded guilty to the charges brought by this court, and it is now my duty to pass sentence. You are an habitual criminal who accepts arrest as an occupational hazard and presumably accepts imprisonment in the same casual manner. We therefore feel constrained to commit you to the maximum term allowed for these offenses.
No teletext for 5 years.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Teletext Star Podcast. Don't worry, guys, you haven't been sentenced to prison time. Today, we're just visiting the world of Teletext behind bars. Or maybe that should be behind vertical bars. Because today, we're going to be talking about Teletext in prisons. Our favorite information service has hit the international news for its part in Spanish prisoners' secret plans hatched via coded messages left on Teletext. And with me today, as always, in Studio Editions, it is, under lockdown influence, Mr. Carlos Atrill. Carl.
Hi, Dan. Hey, how you keeping, mate?
Pretty good. Still quite amused by the last edition of Teletext R, the CFAX Holidays edition, in which we featured a clip from BBC Radio Essex. Somebody phoned up saying that they bought a fantastic holiday from CFAX Holidays.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen the receipt for that, but I can just tell you, although that is my neck of the woods, that is not me ringing into the station. So we've either got somebody who's in on our joke doing this, or there is someone who genuinely bought the one and only holiday from BBC CFAX.
So if you are that person out there, please get in touch with us, teletextrpodcast@gmail.com, or Twitter @teletextr, that's all one word, because we really would like to know, because I want to go on a CFAX holiday.
He sounded so bloody happy as well, so, you know, it must be a really good holiday.
Yeah,
excellent.
A glowing endorsement, indeed.
Yes, absolutely. And by the time you're listening to this, I reckon our tune has made it to number one.
Oh, yes, of course. Maybe we could release it as a Christmas single.
Yes, it'll be a regular Christmas one, like Slade used to be, and Noddy in his holders.
Also regarding the last edition, I'd like to thank Layla Johnston, who made a fantastic contribution in the form of the holiday facts.
Yeah, she voiced that up so eloquently. It was lovely. It really was nice. You can follow her @FinalBullet on Twitter. And she's got various projects on the go. And I think she's in the throes of recording a Shift Run Stop podcast as well. Please check that out, guys. That's a really good podcast with her and Rue Reynolds, where they eat stuff, talk about stuff, and it's like a culture podcast.
Excellent. It's good to hear that that's back, because I believe it's been off the air for a while. But I will say that Layla has a wonderful voice for radio. And not only that, as you said, she's got a fantastic voice for teletext.
She is the voice of teletext. I think that's now her new title. So she's a very active producer of content on the internet with a Twitch channel and everything as well.
Yeah.
And she likes fooling around with BBC graphics. So that's how she sort of gets interested in the teletext scene.
Yeah, all of it's really good. We do recommend you follow @FinalBullet on Twitter. Shall we move on to the main topic of conversation on today's podcast, Carl?
Let's do this thing.
Today, we are behind vertical bars. We're speaking about this story that's been in the news quite a lot recently, or it's been fairly popular, because it's a bit sensationalist, and because it's teletext, and there's that element of, oh, we're going back to the past, we're going back to a different time, the prisons are behind the times, and all of that business. It's made it into the news.
Yeah, no, that's right. And probably teletext and prisons, that probably pleases the reading public because they go, ha ha, they're so behind the times, they're still using teletext. So our taxes are, they're not lavishing them with the latest stuff. So it's an agreeable story to publish.
Well, yeah, let's go into the story a little bit. We should explain it, actually. So we've got a quote from Gen Better, a news article from the 27th of October this year. 2020. NASA discovers unequivocally water on the surface of the moon. And in a Pontevedra prison, they requisition a television because a prisoner is receiving messages via teletext.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we go along into this, this will sort of like have some very sort of interesting parallels with other moribund technologies and things that are still very relevant in the world of message sending. So, yeah, we'll have to read on and see.
Yeah, it's like when you hear people still use bleepers. For example, people in the NHS.
Mm-hmm.
They might be doubly important at this moment in time. And you might read something in the paper that says they still use beepers. After a pagers, sorry, that's it, isn't it? It's a pager. In America, it's called a beeper.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, yeah, like they still use them. And you can still hear the signals that are being sent. There's a frequency that you can listen to, and it's actually broadcast nationwide through a series of repeaters. And those messages can be decoded. It's not legal to do so, but if someone was to decode them, they would find that the ambulance services are still using them and hospital pagers are still being used as well. And some government ministers and civil servants still have them as well, where they will have paging messages, I would imagine, would say something along the lines of XX at the Guardian on telephone number XXXXXXX wants to speak to you about tomorrow's Sunday interview with a minister XXX. Not that I've been able to read any of their messages, Dan, but yes, that is still a thing.
Well, the News of the World might have been hacking into those over the years. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah. We will never know. We will never know.
So, regarding our story, it began in January 2020. Oh, sorry, I should mention that these are translated excerpts. And this one is from El País from the 1st of November. So, in January 2020, executing a court order, the management of the Alhama prison intervened a prisoner's television. Days later, the device was returned to him, although with the teletext and menu completely blocked, according to La Voz de Galicia. However, although the National High Court magistrates had considered the manipulation of TVs to block teletext to be absolutely justified, they agreed that it was not necessary to restrict inmates' access to television menus. So, teletext has been blocked, but not TV menus.
Yeah, so the most technical way of removing teletext from a little TV set is just ripping the rubber button off the remote control. Maybe that's all that they had to do.
The prisoners might have hacked into the remote control.
They'd have fashioned a rubber button out of a bar of soap.
So ingenious, these prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
We think that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. No, it was just a guy in prison who stuck a couple of bits of loo roll together. So, several prisoners received messages through dating sites or advertisements found on teletext. They did it at specific times and with pseudonyms so as not to be detected. And that's according to lavanguardia.com. But myself and Carl have been speaking a little bit before the podcast as to exactly how they would do this. Because how would it be possible for the prisoners to send messages to teletext? I know they could receive them from the outside by switching on teletext and receive their coded messages. How would they then contact with the outside world again? Would they send a coded letter off to somebody? But then, are the letters being checked by authorities and censored?
Mm. Yeah, so that was my first thing. When I'm reading the articles, you're thinking, okay, so you get a message on teletext that's addressed at you or a group of people, you know, who are reading that in the prison. And then, yeah, how are you going to respond to that and verify that you're going to carry out those orders or respond to that request? So it's an asynchronous medium. So you can't get back through the telly to speak back at the person that left the message. So you'd have to get a message to teletext somehow. If you couldn't use a phone, because you don't have the phone, the only thing you could do would be write. And if you wrote, then surely you would write to the person that you wanted to speak to rather than the teletext service. So what this got me to thinking, and I'm not sure if you agree, Dan, but these messages are sort of like an effective way of sending a message to more than one person at one point. So you can actually, you know, send an instruction or tell people of an event that's about to happen. So it could be that, you know, they're trying to illicitly smuggle something in, and you know, the message is telling them who's going to bring that in and whereabouts they're going to deposit the contraband, maybe. Because if you sent a message to me, then I would just write back going, got your message, mate. But then if you did it through the teletext and you're sending it through, I don't know, maybe some sort of pen pal site or something like that, it could look quite innocent, couldn't it, that you're just looking for a pen pal and it will get through the sensors, so your letter would go out and then get broadcast on teletext.
Well, funnily enough, there has been a similar incident in Spain in the year 2005. According to El Diario, which I presume is the diary, in the investigation of a crime of proposition for a murder in 2005, the Provincial Court of Madrid detailed in the sentence how several defendants, including some who were in prison, communicated through teletext with notices and nicknames in code. For example, in this case, the words Pantoja and Flintstones served to served to identify that this notice was addressed to them. So yeah, that was in a case where some people were in prison, some people were outside. So that's the sort of thing I think that might have been going on. They might have been communicating with people inside the prison from outside, because as is mentioned in the same article, Spanish prisoners have no mobile phones and internet hours are very limited, and of course they will be monitored.
Well, I'm just going to do a quick search for, was it Pantoja?
Pantoja, yes, I wondered what that meant in Spanish.
Pantoja. Well, I've got Isabel Pantoja. She's a singer, Spanish singer. So I'm wondering if she's like a popular celebrity, and that's why that was mentioned along the side of the Flintstones.
Yeah, I mean, if they were American, they might have used Aguilera or Gaga.
Gaga.
Yes, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, old Madonna.
De una de las regiones más excitantes y sensuales del mundo. Este año MTV celebra sus 10 años en Latinoamérica. Feliz cumpleaños, MTV. Muchos besos. Mwah.
Yeah, but there was a similar incident in 2008, and I take this from the Cordoba website, and this was reported actually a long time ago, 8th of September 2008. Should I read all of this? It's a lot.
Oh, do you want me to read it? I'll read it if you like.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. So the article reads, ETA inmates have been aware for a time of the state in which their colleagues were imprisoned in other prisons who received visits thanks to the teletext of Spanish televisions. Although this practice seems to be in disuse, according to a source consulted by Cordobora, the relatives of the ETA members held prison-posted messages on pages 861 and following, in which, half in code, they commented that they had visited any Spanish capital and that those who were there were in good or bad health. In this telematic medium from page 803, the section Make Friends begins. On other occasions, the messages were about sports and thus reflected that they had been to a football match in a certain city and that this or that person had played in that game or stadium. So it's fairly innocuous, but I get from that that they put codes in that you can interpret whereabouts they are on what sort of business or what sort of territories people are going into, maybe.
Yeah, there could be links to betting and such in prisons, but I think it seems fairly innocuous, as you said, just somebody wanting to know about the football results, because I don't know what sorts of news prisoners get. Do they get newspapers? You might be able to buy newspapers for an exorbitant amount, but largely you're not supposed to know about the outside world. It's a little bit like Big Brother, isn't it? Except you don't win any money for staying in till the end.
Not unless you, well, not unless what you hid hasn't been recovered by the time you get out.
You know what? We should have... Well, that's a bad idea. I was just going to say we should have interviewed someone who'd been in prison for this episode.
Well, I know a couple of people, but I don't think they'd want to admit to actually have served any time. So, <Yeah. laughs> we speak to famous lag.
Well, if I'd have been in prison, I would have told you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, maybe we could just ask, you know, if there are any ex-lags out there that have used a similar teletext system, then please do get in touch.
Yes. What code did you use to contact the outside world? We could bust apart a secret sports betting ring that happened in 1998 via teletext.
Well, this does allude to numbers stations and things like that, where a mass media is used, but only certain people will know the key to understand where to find the instructions and decode them. So, you know, spies would listen in on a shortwave radio station, listening to a broadcast, which anybody could listen to, but use their one-time pad to decode that message and then destroy the one-time code and then act on the message that they got. It's in the popular culture a fair bit now. You know, you've got a couple of programs. I think the Americans uses what the use of a one-time code because they're sleeper agents in the United States and they listen into their shortwave radio by, I think, going on top of a hill and things like that. But, I mean, in essence, it's basically using a device that anybody can get their hands on. And normally a device that anybody can get their hands on is normally old and, you know, has been well used. So, yeah, in that case, a radio. In this case, a teletext set. But it does make you wonder how many other codes have actually just gone through on teletext now.
Yeah, they probably would have had teletext in prisons since at least the 80s, 90s, because any TV would be capable of receiving teletext. And as far as I know, the teletext wouldn't have been blocked. I don't see any news articles out there on the internet of British prisons having teletext blocked.
No, I don't know. If it was like piped in, if it was on a cable system, then maybe they could just like cable the pitch apart. I think it would just be a lot easier just to give, you know, certain inmates a TV set and they would just receive the normal analog signal as well. So, yeah, it's not something I'm really sort of super clued up about, but, you know, you could imagine that it just... the cost to prevent somebody pressing a teletext button, unless, like you say, you're just ripping the rubber bit out of the remote control, it just seems to be a bit prohibitive. How many people are acting on these messages? And you've got to think that, you know, if you're actually meeting someone from outside, they could give you a code or something anyway. So, you know, how much effort would you actually put into it? So it's quite surprising that the Spanish authorities not only managed to identify this as a problem, but actually use a lot of this as evidence. And the other thing about that is if they use it as evidence, how did they recover these TV pages? They must have gone to the broadcaster and they must have stored the messages because, as you and I know, Dan, once it's overwritten, it's gone.
Well, it depends exactly how they were communicating with teletext, because there would have been records somewhere. They weren't using SMS, but even if there is SMS, the police can seize the phone and, even if you've deleted the messages, recover all conversations. If they indeed used traditional snail mail letters, they could have maybe intercepted one of those and thought, this is a bit fishy. They would have given them back to the prisoner and said, it's fine. and waited for more evidence, because you can't crack a code based on one letter. I don't know.
No, you have to give someone enough rope to hang themselves, don't you? And then you've got to tie the significant event up to what you believe has happened or is about to happen as well. So, you know, sometimes you have to let these things fall over to prove if you were right. So it's quite profound, really.
Well, maybe in the news articles they don't go into too much detail because it could be classified information. Was there a criminal trial or something?
At the time there was. So, yeah, I wonder if there was perhaps a follow-up to that hasn't been picked up, where they could actually disclose the evidence that they used or something. Because until someone's been found guilty, it is always alleged, isn't it? So you can't publish things that are damning to someone until they've actually been proven guilty of the thing that they've been charged with.
Well, in a similar incident, we have another incident actually now, which is fairly similar to what happened in Spain, but this took place in Finland. This article is from the 1st of August 2020, and it says, a criminal group's drug rally was an encrypted, fear-stained system. A crisis meeting came on teletext. The criminal gang messaged, among other things, in a teletext chat and created their own secret language to avoid the grip of the law. The drug trade in prisons was one of the gang's activities that prompted the authorities to take tough action. The smugglers brought substances into prison, mainly in the rectum.
What part of the prison is that then?
Well, it's the part where the sun doesn't shine.
It's the backside of it.
Yes. Police footage shows several packs of surprise eggs full of drugs.
I'm never eating a Kinder again.
Yeah. In one case, the smuggler taped the goods between his buttocks. However, getting back to teletext, inside the prison, it's difficult to keep in touch with drug traffickers. For this purpose, the gang used, for example, the teletext chat page. At its most systematic, the communication consisted of coded letters, the key to which was obtained by the police during a home search. So, from that article, we can probably ascertain that the Spanish prisoners might have used a similar approach, perhaps minus the Kinder eggs between the buttocks.
Yeah, well, you just never know, do you? But, so actually, I wonder if that was just lost in translation, that the closest thing was egg.
Yeah, surprise egg. Surprise!
Surprise, it's a fun toy in each one.
Oh dear, oh dear. This prisoner has laid an egg. What?
It's a golden one.
He would have gotten away with it if he didn't actually make a big thing about it and start flapping his arms like a chicken and going, bark, 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 bark.
Yes. Very good.
So, yeah, this phenomenon of contacting prisoners via teletext is actually quite commonplace and has been known about for a while. The thing is, now these incidents have happened, prisons will be on the lookout for this in the future, and they'll probably exchange intelligence between the different countries where the incidents happened. So this will be happening less and less, or it'll be harder and harder. And also possibly the teletext services themselves will be more savvy and aware of this sort of incident and these sorts of messages. So they can intercept them at source and contact the police, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, it could now be considered low-hanging fruit that this could happen a fair bit. But yeah, as the services all wind down, they might be offering less interaction, you know, if they go to a news-only service, if they're running at all. But again, I think people use letters, pages of newspapers and small ads and classifieds, exchange and mart and things like that, you know. You could put a message in anything, couldn't you? So why not teletext?
Yeah, anything that prisoners could get their hands on, any form of communication.
No, knowing how you can send a message, I mean, yeah, I reckon there's been thousands of teletext messages sent to knowing people, and they've known where to look. If you look in newspapers and things like that, you know, there's acrostics where you can read down the side of a newspaper article, and that'll spell a phrase out. There's been quite a few famous ones of them. There's been crosswords as well. I mean, the News of the World did a famous crossword where the solutions, when you actually read them out, one across was tomorrow, four down was we, 10 is are, and 7 down is sacked. Tomorrow we are sacked. there's a few other famous ones. And one and only friend of the show, Arnold Schwarzenegger, got in on the act as well, would you believe?
Oh.
He sent a message back to the members of the California State Assembly saying that he's going to send a bill back, 1176, without my signature. He then goes on to say,
"For some time now, I have lamented the fact that major issues are overlooked while many unnecessary bills come to me for consideration. Water reform, prison reform, and health care are major issues my administration has brought to the table, Hasta la vista. But the legislature just kicks the can down the alley. Yet another legislative year has come and gone without the major reforms Californians overwhelmingly deserve. In light of this, and after careful consideration, I believe it is unnecessary to sign this measure at this time."
Now, if you get a pen and paper, I'm going to read out. "Four, unnecessary care kicks, yet overwhelmingly unnecessary."
And that's what's written down the side. And if you take those letters, I think that's actually what you you can actually take from his letter to the member of the California State Assembly. So, yeah, a friend of the show, Arnie, has managed to get in on the act as well with secret messages.
How did they find that? Who noticed it? And how long did it take them?
Well, I think that there's people that actually will always look for that. When I was looking around for that, there was an article that actually explain that article, and when you read down there all the capital letters, it said hidden messages.
Ah, right.
Yeah, so so when you actually start reading these things, I reckon there's quite a few. So I'm gonna start having a look at that and report back on any I find.
Ah.
But yeah, there's quite a few four lettered expletive ones that have come out in normally in protest against the boss that's about to sack them.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because Mr. Biffo, friend of the show, is also a fan of hidden messages. In the last ever edition, or the last ever week of Digitizer, he hid some rude words in acrostic fashion in one of his reviews. Specifically, it was for Conker's Bad Fur Day. Now, due to page recovery, we've actually managed to find this. And I'm not allowed, well, I don't want to get the explicit tag on this episode of the Teletext Star podcast, but let's just say these words are quite rude. But it's a little bit of a saga, because when Biffo was on the show the first time, he mentioned this, so I went away and searched for it. And then he came back on the second time and revealed where it was. And then I went away and still couldn't find it. But somebody did recover the page and point it out. So you can go and look it up, ladies and gentlemen, on Superpage 58.
Yes, friend of the show. Esteemed contributor to the teletext scene.
You could spell rude words out just by the first word of every paragraph, the first letter spelling something or something like
that. Well, I did do that on my last week there. I did have it down the left-hand side of the page, everything spelled out, a rude word on one of the pages.
What was the word?
I mean, have a look, because my final digi is up online. I can't remember which bit on there it is, but if you look, it's really weirdly written. People must have just thought, what? Because I was making people laugh. It's like, oh, everyone went on about, oh, the real turn of the worm being sick. But there was other stuff on there, and no one noticed that. It was such a pain in the ass to write, because trying to get all the kind of words to match up so that they spelt out filth down the left-hand side, and no one noticed that. I went an amazing effort.
I can't think of anything beginning with W I can put in this sentence.
basically, that's what it was.
That could possibly be the most profane thing that's ever been printed on teletext, and nobody has found it yet.
Yeah, it's on there.
That's a Twitter handle then, for anybody who's got this far in a podcast can tell us what it is, and perhaps not use the C word anymore.
In a previous edition of the Teletext Star podcast, you claimed that on the final, I think it's the final day of Digitizer, you hid a message. And I have been trying to find this message, well, not solidly, but at least twice over the past 2 months, and I've been completely unable to find it.
Down the left-hand side, I think, of all the reviews. Yeah, I'm sure it... the effort it took to make... This is Digitizer, Dan. What are you doing? The effort it took to kind of get the text to scan right and also spell out swear words down the left-hand side was monumental, and I made damn sure that went to air. So keep looking.
I will.
Yeah, and, well, of course, Mr. Biffo's revealos were hidden messages of a sort. I'm sure a few of those got past the censors because they couldn't be bothered checking the reveal button, on the TV, or they forgot about it. Because I'm sure half the people who worked at Teletext didn't know that there was a reveal button, and Biffo got away with all sorts of nonsense behind his revealos.
Reveal me do. Yes, excellent. Well, yeah, because you just think, oh, it's going to be a terrible pun. I won't bother revealing that to do it. And I guess you could press reveal and like messages come up somewhere else on the page. So you might be looking in the bit where you see the answer that you're expecting to get to the question or the punchline to the joke. But there might be another character that's revealed somewhere else on that page.
Yeah, and that's how somebody working at a teletext station can convey hidden messages to somebody. Well, say, for example, page 379, completely innocuous, just a normal news story. But if the person at home knows that there's a secret hidden message on that and presses reveal, oh, look, at the bottom it says, I will be home for tea at 3 p.m. Put the kettle on.
Yes, like Colin McIntyre alerting his wife.
Yes. This did actually happen, ladies and gentlemen, and it's one of the holy grails of teletext recovery. It's reported in a number of articles, and I think Colin McIntyre said it himself, that he would communicate with his wife via the pages of CFAX. Don't forget, this was in the early days, and not many people had receivers, so it was very easy for him to say, "Oh, Mildred, go to page 149, and I'll let you know when I'm coming home, when I'm leaving BBC TV Centre." And that wasn't actually his voice, it was just a random posh voice.
That's a generic editor of BBC News voice, is it?
Yeah.
What about the alleged hidden messages that were sent home by Colin McIntyre?
I knew you were going to bring that one up. In the early stages, as I said, there were only 4 teletext sets out in the UK, and one of them was in the home of Colin McIntyre, the first editor of CFAX, and he used to use it as a private messaging service. So when he was about to leave Television Centre, he'd send a message on a back page of the magazine to his wife saying, "Put the dinner on." Who said messaging is a new idea?
And on the subject of hidden messages, of course, teletext itself is a coded message, accessible only by those with a teletext decoder, which most TVs have built in. But like I said, in the early days, you had to build your own.
Yeah, you just wonder if you could have sent messages back somehow a little bit easier. Well, you can. Yeah, it's called the internet, I guess. But
Teletext, yeah, teletext 2.0.
Yes.
Yeah. 9.0 or something.
Yeah, is it Web 2 or Web 0 for teletext, wasn't it? Web 0. So,
super teletext.
Yeah, super text. Yeah, no, there's a lot more going on there. Yeah, why not use teletext as a way of communicating with people? If something's there, you're going to make use of it.
Yeah, and teletext continues to be really good, even though it's used sometimes for bad things. Does it technically make teletext a crime, even if just in Spanish prisons and Finnish prisons?
It's a tool for wrongdoing.
Yeah, it's bad. This is the reason why they're getting rid of it, because it's being used for bad stuff.
It's subversive to the prisoners. Maybe it was a prison for geeks.
We should do that, shouldn't we? Make it a reality TV show. It's just like Big Brother, except we have teletext and have to... Did you ever see, what was it called? I think it was called Prison Break on Channel 5, an old reality TV show back in the Big Brother days, where these people were locked inside a prison. It was a proper prison, and it had prison guards and everything, but they had to find the clues to break out.
Oh.
And I thought it was a really cool idea. But we should do that. We should bring it back, but with teletext.
Escape from, you could use an escape room with teletext in it. Oh, that'd be an idea, actually, because you could solve a particular puzzle and it'll give you a page number to another particular puzzle to solve on another teletext set. And you could just go around solving all the clues. And then if you follow the TVs in the right order, you get out the maze.
That would be really cool. If we could get hold of the TVs and if anybody has the money to get them, we could set up a proper escape room with 100 teletext TVs, and
that'd be a great art installation, wouldn't it? Because you could solve the riddles, and that will direct you on the way out where the way you need to go.
Yeah, I should do that when I get out of prison.
Do you know what, grubber? Don't let bastards get you down.
You know what? I was the mole. I was the person who ratted out these Spanish prisoners because I, being an avid reader of teletext, would spend 24 hours a day trawling through the different pages and noticing strange messages on the chat service.
Yeah, it's a strange chat. So you'd read the first one, go, oh yeah, my name's James, I'm in stamp collecting and computing, you can get me on PO Box 266. Then the next message will read, hey gringo, time to execute the warder. You go, well, that's a bit strange. I didn't expect to see that one there.
Funnily enough, it wasn't detected for years.
Yeah, that's it. I just thought it was a regular correspondent. In fact, he killed about 12 people. Please ensure that this inmate gets a disgusting, horrible death. And P.S. The eggs are at my bottom.
It's starting to hatch, I think.
Would it hatch into a big cocaine monster?
Right, well, we'll get back to our chat about the Spanish prisoners pretty soon, but just a little bit of news to update you all on. Thank you, everybody, for contributing to the Save the Red Button Teletext Service campaign, because we are pleased to report that it has indeed been saved for the medium to long term, and the BBC are looking into ways that they can improve it, and they're speaking to its users about how it could be developed and improved in the future.
Yeah, that's brilliant news, that because we've gone from a position of losing a service to actually having it enhanced for the people that need it the most. And that's all happened because of people with the enthusiasm and the passion lobbying the BBC and making sure that they keep it. And out of the whole uncertainty of it, we're going to get something good. We're going to get something better for the people that need it.
Yeah, and it's great testament to Sarah, who we had on an earlier edition of the podcast, who was working hard to save the Red Button. She was, I think, quite confident at the time, and I think that was due to the overwhelming response that they've had. All the different stories that have been uncovered. If you listen to them, you can't help but be moved and think, we've got to at least keep a bare-bones basic version of the Red Button online.
Absolutely. And when listening back to the interview that you did, the gentleman on there made a very compelling case for it and actually highlighted some things that I wouldn't have actually picked up on. So to read things at your own pace is absolutely brilliant. But when people say, well, you could listen to it rather than read it, you've got the outside noises and you've got to try and keep up with the pace of the narrator and the drum beats and all that go behind it. And, you know, I consider myself having use of all my senses, luckily, but I struggle to keep up with a BBC news beat on Radio 1. So I can imagine how difficult that is for somebody who has an impairment of sight or their hearing.
Yeah, we did hear a clip on that episode from Victor Jackson, who's registered blind and hard of hearing, who was one of the spearheads of the campaign to save the Red Button. He made an interesting point that the internet is full of spammers and hackers who, if you're not careful, can trick you. If you're not savvy with the internet and too trusting, there might be certain scam artists who could take advantage of your good nature. Whereas with teletext, there is no danger at all. You don't need to worry about any of that. You just load up the TV and read the latest news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tried and tested medium.
I think if you don't need the internet and you don't want to use it, then there isn't any need, or there shouldn't be any need for you to do that. And the BBC should provide a text information service, I think.
No, absolutely.
On this subject, I saw last year that the Airtel teletext service had been shut down. There was a big fanfare about it, people saying, oh, I'm going to miss Airtel. But last week, somebody posted a picture on Twitter of Airtel still running on an old-fashioned TV, and it had the current news and the current date. So that's obviously still going. So some services may say that they're shut down, but they haven't really. They keep it online for a select few people.
Yeah, it could be that it's just running down and they haven't found that bit to shut down yet. I'm enjoying the BBC CFAX service on my mobile phone, which one of the teletext community has made an APK for. You can find the link for that at the top of the teletext Facebook group. But yes, I actually saw Biden's election win first on teletext. So I knew when they called it, I knew that it was going to be, at time of recording, was going to be a dead cert.
Right. That's correct. Because as Sarah pointed out, Sarah from the National Federation of the Blind, CFAX users and Redbutton users would always get the news first. They would always break it before the television stations. And that probably still goes for the internet stories.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we're speaking about coded messages on the Teletext Star podcast today, and we've talked a little bit about Spanish incidents and Finnish incidents. But did you know that sort of similar incidents have happened on Danish teletext? And friend of the show, Thomas Burvit, has recorded a little bit of a segment for us now in which he's going to speak about just that.
Hello, Teletext R podcast. I'm happy to be on the show. My name is Thomas Burvit, and I'm a Teletext fan from Copenhagen, Denmark, where I maintain the website teksttv.dk, a Danish website about teletext.
På årets første dag var der premiere på en helt ny form for daglige tv-nyheder. For fremtiden vil alle danske seere hver dag kl. 18 kunne se et 5-minutters udvalg af døgnets nyheder fra Danmarks Radios tekst-tv.
I was a child in the 1980s when we first got teletext in Denmark, and being a teenager in the 90s, I have many fond memories of using teletext, looking up the TV listings, reading the news, the weather forecast, or simply just trying out random page numbers to discover what information could be found there. We got cable TV in the early 90s, so I also got to enjoy the teletext services of the BBC, YLE, MTV, and so on. After getting access to the internet in the mid-90s, my use of teletext slowly came to a halt, sadly enough. But now, fast forward 20 years, and I have kind of rediscovered teletext. In 2018, I read an article on the website of the Danish Broadcasting Corporation, DR, our public service channel, about teletext turning 35 years old in Denmark. Teletext launched in the spring of 1983 here. I was surprised to read that while I didn't use teletext myself anymore, 1/4 of the viewers were still using teletext at least once a week. Now I wanted to know more about the history and technology of teletext both in Denmark and abroad. Many brilliant web pages exist on teletext in, for example, Great Britain, but I could not find any pages in Danish nor any pages about teletext in Denmark. So of course I knew I had to make that website myself, and I began collecting information about teletext in Denmark. I got in touch with the Danish Broadcasting Corporation, and one of their longtime teletext employees were very helpful in sharing a bunch of pages that they had saved through the years. I put those pages up on my website textv.dk, and that's spelled tekst tv.dk, and there are quite a number of great pages, especially the graphical ones for Christmas and New Year's. I was happy also to discover the international teletext community, a small and passionate community of teletext fans that can be found online on both Twitter, Facebook and Discord, and in podcasts like this one, Teletext R. Now for this episode of your podcast, I was asked to tell a little about teletext in Danish prisons, which I have been researching a little. Not from the inside of a prison, I'm happy to say, but using online resources. The television sets that inmates in Danish prisons can rent and use in their cells are not permitted to have a teletext module installed. The teletext module is simply physically removed before the television set can be taken into the prison. This has been in effect from at least 2001 onwards, which I found out by reading the Danish law on what possessions inmates are allowed to have in their prison cells. The law simply states that teletext give the inmates the possibility to receive messages from the outside world, and therefore is not allowed. The law doesn't mention specifically how messages can be communicated, but we must assume that it could be via either the chat services or classified ads that many teletext services have offered or still offer. The Danish Public Broadcasting Corporation began its experiments with a chat service as the second country in the world in 1999. Norway's NRK were the first, as far as I know. And using text messages sent via mobile phone, users could submit messages to be displayed on one of two chat pages. Danish teletext was, as far as I know, not used by inmates to receive information from the outside world. However, there was some criminal activity on the chat pages. Danish Broadcasting Corporation reported that once they were notified of a weapons deal taking place in their chat room, and that the communication was in a foreign language, they quickly shut down the chat, of course, and began to evaluate how to avoid this situation happening again. The solution was simple enough. It was not allowed to chat on teletext in any foreign languages. This way the moderators could more easily monitor the contents of the chat. They also had a banned word list to avoid curse words and naughty words, and maybe also words such as gun or bomb. I don't know of any other cases of unauthorized use of the Danish teletext chat, but of course we all know how users can get around banned words lists and other limitations using creative spelling or ASCII art. I have recently started recovering teletext from old VHS recordings, and obviously recovering this weapons deal is one of my holy grails. But recovering the content of teletext chat is particularly difficult because the pages change constantly, often many times a minute. So I should be very surprised and happy if it should ever be recovered. In my research about teletext in prisons, I found out that teletext technology is in fact used in Danish prisons, even if the teletext modules are removed from the inmates' televisions. 2011, the prisons in Copenhagen launched their own internal teletext service, which can be watched either via an internal information channel on their TV or is distributed via VHS tapes. Of course, it's a video recording of teletext, so you can't enter your desired page number on the remote, but have to wait until the page changes, or if you are using the VHS, press fast forward or rewind or pause to navigate the teletext. I have found a screenshot of a page of the Copenhagen prison's teletext, which I have replicated and put on my website. And on that page, we can get a glimpse of what is on prison teletext. The internal teletext service contains information on what's on the menu of the prison kitchen for the next month, internal news and information from the spokespersons of the inmates, lists of prices of items in the kiosk, and list of postage prices. There's also information about church services and library services. It kind of breaks my heart, and I can't help to feel sorry for the inmates who live a life in isolation and don't have access to real teletext as a window into news and information about the outside world. I listened to a Norwegian podcast from last year in 2019 when teletext turned 40 in Norway. And on that podcast, they mentioned that teletext is much used in Norwegian prisons today. And they interviewed a Norwegian inmate on his use of teletext, and he mentioned that he enjoyed most of all reading the Today's page with the various trivia on what happened on this day back in time. I'm not certain if this is also pre-recorded teletext, but since both Norwegian and Danish teletext don't have any chat or user-generated content today, I think teletext could be permitted in Danish prisons.
Thank you very much for that, Thomas. Very interesting to hear about the wrongdoings of people over in Denmark. Yes.
Danland.
Yeah.
The land of the Danes.
Yes. So these incidents are a lot more common than you might think, and they're happening all over the place. Hopefully, by making them public, we can raise awareness and people in prisons can rat on their fellow prisoners.
Yes. I think news-wise, it comes out, oh yeah, because it's an old medium and people are still using it for this, that and the other. But yeah, I reckon this went on very, very often back in the day. And if we could look through some of the recovered services now and just like, but with a more cynical eye, we could probably see quite a few recurrent messages to, you know, to whoever, because there were some like Lonely Hearts columns and things like that in there where you could just easily insert anything cryptic that you liked.
That's a really interesting idea, Carl, because the stuff that we've recovered, we could start a website saying search for the hidden messages in teletext to see if any spy messages or prisoners have left stuff on there. But the problem is, we can't go too far into it, because the deeper down that rabbit hole you go, the more likely you are to be picked up by James Bond or the Secret Service.
Yeah, or end up like a Nash out of Beautiful Minds and just end up ruining your own life with complete paranoia.
Yes, well, that's exactly what my living room is like, incidentally, with all the papers all over the wall.
With bits of ribbon tape. It always makes me laugh that they use the ribbon tape. That's like, it's so brilliant, isn't it? They pin bits of ribbon tape up to newspaper cuttings and it looks really effective. Do people actually do that?
I don't know if they do. It just looks good on in films, doesn't it?
But the thing is, why would you need if you're doing that research yourself, surely you would know where everything is. So why have the ribbon tape for someone else to break in and go, what? What's going on here? Oh, he's made a link with that photo. Oh, and he's made a link with that one. Oh, that makes our jobs easier. Let's do crime. That's another crime solved. We'll put another one in prison. Stick him on teletext. There you go. Throw away the key. Surely, though, I mean, in the real life, like if you had a photograph that you had to connect via a ribbon to another article somewhere else on the wall, wouldn't you just put those two things next to each other?
Yes, but that doesn't look as cool, does it?
And it doesn't telegraph to anybody else as well. Yeah. It's sort of like you're just showing off your workings out to other people, aren't you?
Yeah.
You want to be discovered. If you're doing that, you're wanting to be discovered. It's like mate you out of seven, isn't it?
It's just like Blofeld. Yes, Mr. Bond. Yes, Mr. Bond. Over here you will see my plans intricately laid out on this whiteboard that I made just for you. I spent 2 days assembling this. Do you know how long it took me to get that picture of you? We don't have the internet here in the 70s, you know.
On my Sony television screen. Yes. Anyway, we digress, but in a very good way.
So, I believe that wraps up our chat on these incidents in Spanish prisons. Mm-hmm. But do we have anything else to say on that subject? Actually, I'd like to say something. Mm-hmm. You know, that would make a fantastic film. All the stuff that we've been talking about today. Maybe a documentary film or an actual Hollywood movie in which teletext is the central communication device for these prisoners. Please get in touch with us if you are a filmmaker, because we'd love to make that happen.
So, sort of like a Tron prison.
Yeah. Yeah, if we made that escape room and filmed it in there, yeah, we could make up our own little prison cell and film a short independent movie.
Your private teletext torment in your own personal prison.
Yes, personal teletext torment. That would be a wonderful name.
Yeah, it's just like in your own mind where you got your own regrets coming up on different pages. Oh, no. Yeah, your own regrets and turmoil being played out in front of you and your friends.
Hey, Jimmy, I can't quite work out the hidden message in this page. Johnny, you fool. That's just frame it. There's nothing hidden there. Oh, I wondered why there were these pictures of Henry VIII saying, I'm a Tudor. These dodgy pictures of Henry VIII.
You've lost me.
Well, that's the end of this show.
Well, barring any time off for good behaviour, we'll be back for Christmas.
Oh, yes. Hopefully, we might have a Christmas special. Keep your eye out for that. Carl, is there anything you would like to add to today's episode?
No, I think we've covered everything on that, and all that's left for me to say really, mate, is thank you very much, and keep it blocky for the next one.
Don't forget, Kayanara.
Kayanara for now. Victor Kayan.
You've been listening to the Teletext R podcast. Join us again next time when Mr. Biffo tries to recreate some of his old Teletext artwork using leftover cheese from his Christmas cheese board.